August 30th, 2006, item number 163. Today's guests are Chuck Tomasi and Craig Steep.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Chuck and Craig, first we have some news and notes. First up, if you want to contribute to the show, and in the last week I've gotten a lot of contributions from you, the listeners, so thank you. You can call in feedback to 206-666-4357. That's 206-MOM-HELP. Or you can send audio feedback to podcast411@gmail.com. And finally, you can go to podcast411.com and click on the My Chingo button and leave us feedback that way. Well, for those of you subscribed to the podcast and using some older versions of iPodder or some older versions of iPodder X, you may have seen some additional downloads of some older episodes of Podcast 411. Well, what I like to do here is experiment with some new features that are available out there to let you know how they work. And one of them had the side effect of causing old episodes to download. And what I was doing was I went into FeedBurner and I clicked on the option to track downloads. When you do that, what FeedBurner then does in your feed is they create a redirect. So when someone tries to download that podcast through your feed, they're going through a FeedBurner URL first that redirects to wherever your MP3 is located. That caused some of the older versions of the aggregators out there to download some additional episodes. I apologize for that. But hey, think of it this way. I'm warning you about that. So if you're worried about that bothering your listeners, at least now you've been warned. And I should point out, this extra download only happens to people that are subscribed to older versions of podcasting aggregators. So if you're using iTunes, and most of your listeners are most likely using iTunes, you didn't see the additional downloads. It's only an issue with the older versions of the aggregators, and it's a one-time issue. So once you click on that track downloads, that's when it causes it to happen. So it's not going to be something that you'll see in the future again, unless of course I click the option off, and then it'll probably happen again. One of the things you can do with the FeedBurner tracking of downloads is not just to track the downloads of your show from the RSS feed, but once the feed is up, you can actually then go and take the URL from the feed and use that as your direct link on your website. So it can track the downloads from your website and from your RSS feed, but you have to manually go into the RSS feed, right click or control click on the MP3 icon, and then copy that URL and use that as your URL on your website or your blog for people that go there to directly download your show. So you can use FeedBurner and their standard package to track all your downloads. If you're not using Libsyn and you're looking for some stat tracking capability, this is one thing to do. I'm going to go ahead and do that for this show. I'm going to make all my links out there for this show with the FeedBurner redirect, and I'll let you know on the next show how the stats compare from FeedBurner compared to Libsyn. We'll see how close they come. One more item here before we get into the interview. And that has to do with the Portable Media Expo coming up next month and the poker tournament we're going to have. It's going to be sponsored by myself here at Podcast 411 and by Gary over at Podcast Pickle. We're going to have the poker tournament on Thursday night, so that's the 28th, and we're going to start it, getting everyone together around 10:30 and shuffle up and deal at 11. If you're interested in finding out more about the poker tournament and or you want to be part of the poker tournament, let me know. Shoot me an email to podcast411@gmail.com and let me know that you're interested in being in the poker tournament. We're going to limit it to the first 30 people that sign up. So if you want to play, you're thinking about wanting to play, shoot an email. The buy-in for the tournament will be $20 per person. So at 30 people, the winner is going to get $260, $250 roughly, thereabout. We're going to pay out for the first five places. I'll have some more information on the website soon. You can check the show notes here. And once I have additional information, I'll have a link in the show notes to a page I'll put up on the site with more information about how the the tournament's going to run and where it's going to be at. But first things first, if you're going to be there before 10:30 p.m. on Thursday night and you're interested in playing the poker tournament, shoot me an email, put in the heading poker somewhere in the subject line, let me know. First 30 people, and then we're going to cut it off. After the interview, please stick around because we have a lot of listener feedback to go through. But right now, we're going to go ahead and get into our interview with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Steep. Here we go. Chuck and Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Rob.
And Chuck, you've already answered this, so this just goes out to Craig. And that is, what was your first computer?
My first computer was my Commodore 64. Got it for Christmas and ruined my life ever since.
No. What were the games you were addicted to on the C64?
I would say Lode Runner, Miner, 6049er, that kind of stuff. And I guess the other thing I was really addicted to was programming, because I would, I'd come home from school and spend about 8 hours on that thing every day and see where it's gotten me.
Now, how many hours a day are you programming today?
More than 8 hours, actually, because I do it full time. I'm a web developer during the day, and of course I come home and podcasting or doing whatever at night, so a lot more than 8 hours now, so some things never change.
And for those of you that didn't realize why Chuck didn't answer it, he was on previously, so you have to go back in the archives and find the interview I did with Chuck, which was episode number 79. So go in the archives and find that interview. It's still relevant. Now, Craig, I'll throw this one out to you also. What was the first podcast you listened to?
The first podcast I listened to, I think, was probably Adam Curry. And then he mentioned Dave Slusher. And I was like, oh, there's somebody else doing this. So I listened to Dave Slusher immediately, found his stuff, and turns out that Dave was like right down the road for me, sort of. He's at the coast of Carolina in Conway, and I'm actually about just south of Charlotte and, South Carolina. And I was like blown away because first there's Adam Curry, he's over in Europe somewhere, and then the next guy I'm listening to is right down the road, but it was funny. And then right after that, I started listening to In the Trenches with Kev Devin, and listening to him. This is all in like October '04, and I started helping Kevin out a little bit, doing little bits and pieces, for the latter part of that year, little clips for a show. And then, of course, it's all history from there.
Other than Friend in Tech podcasts, what podcasts are you guys listening to today? And Chuck, you can start this one.
Quite a few UK ones. Listen to Richard Vobe's radio show, Podcast Paul, a Glastonbury podcast. Those two are very similar, but they do have a different flavor to them in the way they're delivered. Obviously, This Week in Tech, the Dragon Page, Winging It, Slice of Sci-Fi, Cover to Cover, those series of podcasts that they put out, all excellent podcasts.
Evil and Michael, yep.
Yep.
Well, I'd listened to 43 Folders, of course. He doesn't ever put out enough podcasts on that show.
Oh, yeah, I listen to that, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. I listened to The Daily Breakfast with Father Roderick. Enjoyed your interview with him, by the way.
Thank you.
And his podcast, any of his podcasts are always good. John Bell. Any of the Dragon Page shows. I've got various Linux ones, like The Command Line and Linux Reality. That kind of
thing. Podcast Brothers. And the one that I've really gotten into in the last few months, mainly because of a job change, is called Manager Tools.
Mm-hmm.
I've been promoted to IT manager, and one of the listeners of Kevin Devin's In the Trenches show pointed me at this, and I've just eaten it up. It's one of the few podcasts where I've gone back a year into the archives. They do a weekly podcast, and listen to every single one and take notes. It's that valuable of content. It's like going to a one-hour seminar from the professionals, and they give you tips on all kinds of good stuff from effective meetings, effective presentations, one-on-one meetings, how to interact with your boss, what to do when you change job, keeping your resume up to date and cleaned up. I'm so into that podcast. It's not even funny. In fact, Monday night, I'll be having dinner with the co-host Mark Horstman, who will be in Milwaukee. So I'm going to make a special trip down and meet with him.
Cool. Now, where's that podcast located at?
Manager-tools.com.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked, not to mention the ones that are friends in tech, because I wanted to talk about that. And we'll just, before we talk about your podcasts, which are, there's four of them between the two of you, they are part of Friends in Tech. And can you talk a little bit about what Friends in Tech is?
Friends in Tech is a loose-knit group of people that are just out to have fun and work as a team to a common goal. We've done several audio productions together quite well, if I might pat myself on the back. that's largely in due to the post-production people, of course. We've come up with a series of sponsorships and gotten involved in things. We do things as a team. There's probably 15 to 20 messages on our private mailing list that go back and forth, just about consensus of the next thing, how we want to present ourselves at the expo, who's going to the expo, do we want to help sponsor the refit of this website, or just very democratic and everybody's on board.
And I will add that it's a very useful resource because we always bounce ideas on our own shows around between each other. It's not uncommon for you to go, that's a good idea, let me try this, and just throw it out into the list, and everybody starts passing back and forth, and sometimes you come up with a better idea than you started off with. So it's a great resource in that respect as well.
Actually, two of the shows that are in there by one podcaster is one of the nicest guys in podcasting, and that's, other than yourself, of course, Chuck. that is Victor Cajejo, and Victor is just the nicest guy in the world.
Yes, he is.
Very nice guy, very open, very giving, willing to contribute. I mean, the nice thing about Friends in Tech is everybody's got different talents, and we can combine these to make a pretty strong force without feeling a lot of pressure that, you know, I've got to do this every month, and this is what's expected of me. Victor steps up and contributes his audio production talents, his musical talents. George Starcher may step up and do all the backup audio production talents. Networking information. We've got Paul.com Security Weekly is now a member, and they've got a host of security things. We had a discussion this past week about Hamachi at work come up, and I ran it past him, and I like being a part of that light felt environment without the pressure of having to submit and contribute. Everything is, are we going to do this or should we do that? Do we have time to do this without feeling under the gun?
The requirement to join, is it invite, is it request?
Currently it's invite only.
Okay.
Yep.
And when you're part of this, do you have to put attribution in your show, or is it just if you want to, you can?
You don't have to, but it is voluntary and encouraged. Okay. I think Douglas E. Welch from Career Opportunities, the High Tech Career Handbook, I've heard some of his shows with the stinger in it. I've heard some of them without, but nobody jumps on him and goes, "You forgot your stinger this week."
Until just now.
Now, let's talk about the shows you guys do. Now, previously, Chuck, you were on here and we talked about Freestyle and Technorama, and Craig, you are the co-host on Technorama. This time, let's talk a little bit more about the other two podcasts you do. Chuck, you do Gmail Podcast, and Craig, you do Valid Syntax.
That's right.
Craig, we'll start with you. Explain what Valid Syntax is. What's the premise behind the show? What are people going to hear when they tune in?
Well, you know, it started off with a suggestion by Kevin Devin. You know, there's a lot of open source projects out there, and we were thinking about making a show where it's only about 10 minutes, and we were going to track some open source projects, talk about ones that sound interesting, trying to, you know, sift through a lot of the noise that comes through all the announcements of open source projects. So what Valid Syntax is a 10-minute podcast. I intended it to be two times a week, but sometimes I haven't really been able to do that. So it's once a week, 10-minute podcast about open source projects, and I threw in a little bit of open source news and also solicit audience participation. I play the little movie clips at the beginning, or sometimes I've done some music and video games too, and try and get the audience to guess. And I've gotten a lot of feedback from people, so it adds a little fun to the podcast as well as being informative too.
And where can they find that podcast at?
That's at validsyntax.com.
Okay. And if you don't spell it right, that's invalid syntax, and you'll get an error.
Yeah. Without valid, with invalid syntax, you can't do anything.
Chuck, you started a new podcast recently.
About 6 months ago.
So, okay. Beginning of the year. Yeah, I forget where we are in the year. Talk a little bit about, I mean, obviously the name gives away a little bit, Gmail Podcast. What are people going to hear on the Gmail Podcast?
Gmail Podcast is, to use the tagline, a collection of short hints, tips, and tricks to get more from your Gmail account. That's really what it is in a nutshell, 3 to 5 minute segments, a quick hint, tip, possibly a combination of both. If it's just a short one and say, you know, click here, do this. Oh, and here's today's quick tip. You can also find out how to get blah, blah, blah by clicking on this. Plus some etiquette as well. I mean, the help files on Gmail are fine, but they don't really give you the 20 years of legacy that someone who's been using the internet, such as I have, can provide back to that. This is the right way to do it. If you're going to make a signature, don't make it 5 pages long. No one's going to read it, and it's just going to—it's useless fluff. Things of that nature. I was using Gmail.
Yeah, but in the signature, if you can make a, like a really pretty picture out of ASCII symbols, it's really cool.
Yeah, like a 3-screen long Homer Simpson is wonderful. Backslashes and dots. And, it's a beautiful thing. But I was sitting around about a year ago thinking, I've been using Gmail for a year and noticing those little hints and tricks that come up on the bottom. You know, here's some quick keys. Ooh, you can use hotkeys with Gmail. That's cool. And I realized how much there was to this program that most people are not using. And the light bulb went on just before last year's podcast expo. I said, if I'm going to learn this myself, I'm going to podcast this because it's already got a target audience. It's short, it's quick, and I'm going to learn something in the process. I've got another one rolling in my head like that that's completely non-tech, that if I'm going to learn something, I'm going to podcast it and let others learn at the same time.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Say I'm a podcaster and I've got a 30 to 60 minute podcast and mm-hmm. I do it once a week and I'm looking for some content to put in there. Can I take your podcast and use your tips on my show?
If you ask me nicely.
Okay. So if they want to contact, if you're looking for some content, you'd be willing to let them syndicate it in their shows. If they ask
sure, we could work something out. It's okay. Just like if I take digital pictures and you know, somebody wants to use them in a brochure somewhere, I can barter a trade for something.
Well, it just seems that your show is, you know, it's under that 4-minute mark. It just seems like a beautiful segment for a show that's an hour long.
Right. Right now it's got all the bookends in there that, you know, say I'm a member of Friends in Tech and the email address and everything.
No, that's what it's, editing's for.
It's very packaged. We could probably take the content and repurpose it quite easily.
Okay.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I just had somebody email me that they have they do a podcast in-house, I guess, at their work, and wanted to use one of my little segments in their podcast. And I was like, yeah, sure, I don't have a problem with that.
Chuck, where can you find the Gmail podcast?
You can find that at chuckchat.com/gmail.
And links, of course, in show notes. Chuck, you mentioned a few seconds ago that you had some other ideas banging around your head. What are some possible podcasts we might see from you in the future?
One of them is an old-time radio show. I had a listener contribute a large amount of content, more than I could listen to in a lifetime, and I enjoy old-time radio. I used to listen to The Shadow when I was a kid. I'm not that old, but it was on the end of its series.
Back in the 30s.
You know, The Lone Ranger, Tom Mix, a lot of those kinds of things, along with the sci-fi stuff. Mm-hmm. And he sent me literally a stack of about 200 CDs with 70 to 100 shows each on them. So I have thousands of these radio shows that could easily be bookended and put up and let others enjoy. I know there are already lots of old-time radio shows listed on the podcast directories, but you know, it's something I can contribute to the cause.
Right, Spaceship Radio being one of the earliest ones to do mm-hmm. that. Yep.
The other thing that is rolling around in my head is now that I'm an IT manager and have to interact globally, I was in Malaysia in May and was fascinated by the fact that a lot of people in Malaysia spoke Mandarin Chinese, and I want to learn Mandarin Chinese. So I have one of my contacts over there who speaks it. I'm just waiting for him to fire up his broadband, and he's going to teach me Mandarin, and I'm going to learn it and turn it into a podcast. Not sure exactly the format. Will it be short? Will it be long? Will it be conversational? Will it be structured? That's still up in the air. Once he gets broadband, we can have further discussions on that.
you've been both in podcasting for a long time, and Chuck, I had you on a year ago. What have you seen as a trend? What have you seen different in this year compared to last year? What do you see as where podcasting is going a little bit?
I'm seeing a lot of the veterans put more professional spin on their show. As much as everybody originally wanted to be as much unlike traditional radio as they could, it's really starting to look more like traditional radio from the listener's perspective. I mean, you've got the bumpers, you've got the sweepers, you've got the segues. In some cases, you've got direct inline advertising. Some of it is just a sponsorship up front, but it's really starting to feel more like radio. I don't know if that's from the point of that's what a radio listener is used to, or they want to better themselves and their product to reach a wider audience so people don't just tune into the first podcast they come across and go, this sounds amateurish, why would I listen to this?
Or are they doing it because they think that that's what the advertiser wants to hear, not rather than what the listener wants to hear?
Could be, but I'm hearing a lot of people that aren't necessarily after advertisers and sponsorships, that are just doing a better job.
Yeah, I've heard, I think over the last, especially the last years worth of time, I think the quality of the podcasts have gone up, especially the ones I listen to. And I'm sure that just goes with, you know, at first people just wanted to jump on, and then some of the people that stuck around upgraded their equipment and started working on, you know, getting new jingles or getting their act together, and things have cohesed a little bit more. So I think quality is probably the biggest thing, whether it's pushed forward by the hope or advertising, the hope thereof, I should say. I don't know, but I think they've all gotten better.
It's a hobby, and you get better mm-hmm. at your hobby. I mean, we
sure.
could look at this, you know, when podcasting first started out, if you equate it to RC airplanes, we were just crashing those suckers all over the place, flying into power lines, into the school back, you know, schoolyards and like, things like that, buzzing birthday parties, and now we're getting a little bit more controlled with what we're doing. We haven't talked yet about the other two shows, you know, which are Freestyle and Technorama. Not so much what they are. People can go back and listen to episode 79 to find that out. But in the future, what are some of the things you might hear on Technorama?
I would say more interviews with notable names, as well as some non-notable names on interesting topics. We want to develop the comedy side of the show more instead of just regurgitating some of the news. There's some fun and obscure, interesting news that comes out there that we try to throw in. More listener involvement is always a plus. I like the way that the development of user contributions have been coming in. That's mm-hmm. another thing. I mean, along with the podcasters improving their quality, we're finding a lot of listeners are improving their equipment and their quality and making better contributions. So
yeah,
I look forward to seeing more of those.
Yeah, we get some great sounding audio feedback sometime. I'm like, why isn't this guy doing a podcast?
Time. He has a life.
Yeah. Yeah.
On your shows, you're doing a two-location show for Technorama, a dual mm-hmm. location. How are you recording?
Recording is generally done on my end. I've got a Mac PowerBook that I feed the audio into that comes out of a Mackie mixer. Into that mixer, I'm feeding my mic. I'm feeding two laptops, one dedicated to Skype, one dedicated to the audio clips and playlists. That way, no CPU is truly overloaded.
Yeah. Craig, when you're doing Valid Syntax, what are you doing on the recording side and the editing side? What are you using, hardware and software?
For the software, for the longest time, I've been using Audacity. Even from some of the FIT stuff we did last year, our podcast, Christmas Carol, and the Server Room of Horrors for Halloween, did all that with Audacity. And I continue to use it. It's a really good tool, but just recently I started using Audition, which of course speeds things up a good bit, but I still like both. I've got one machine here. I got a mixer. I got the Behringer Urac 1204 FX with a condenser mic. This is a MXL 990. Works really well. And for Valid Syntax, I do edit the show, record everything, edit it up, and answer all stuff because it's only 10 minutes, you know. So I want it to be really good and clean. But for Technorama, it's really anything goes.
Yeah, that MXL 990 works really good as long as you have the logo of the MXL 990 facing your mouth.
Yes. Yes. I found that out when I first got it.
Sorry, PD. Didn't mean to bust you on that. Sorry, it's an inside joke. We were PD yesterday. Just, you know, he had that faced away from him for the longest time, and he turned it around, and everyone's like, "Whoa, what happened to your audio difference?" And he had for the longest time he had the logo facing like the mirror, the wall behind him, off to the side or something, and then. Yeah, you know, one of the biggest things, obviously, in podcasting is how you promote your podcast. And what are you guys doing on the four shows you have? Anything unique as far as promoting outside of the podcasting world?
Not enough. No, that's probably one of the biggest things that we need to get out there is, well, for Gmail, I did slip into the Gmail forums. There's a lot of Google groups out there about Gmail, Gmail users, Gmail world, you know, just a whole bunch of things around that. And I contribute to those regularly and make sure that I slip into my signature, you know, host and producer of Gmail podcast and the website.
Absolutely. If you are on any forum board out there, you have to have your podcast in your signature. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked earlier about not having too large a signature, but your signature, you know, like mine is usually Rob at Podcast 411. Like, maybe I'll have Listen Different above my name, and then below it I'll have the link to my website or my podcast. I'll say podcast or something like that. You know, have podcast and then the URL where they can find it, or even the iTunes URL is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I've got in my Gmail. Whenever I email out, I got that both shows, Valid Syntax and Technorama, in there as well. Now, to promote my show, what I've been doing was... you know, of course, make a promo for your show. That's number one. But I went over to podcast promos and picked out a couple of shows. And I emailed the people and said, hey, look, I'm going to play your promo my show and kind of give them an opening to promo my show as well. So just so they would know and go, oh, yeah, cool. Maybe they would start listening, solicit a subscriber. Anyway, but, you know, they would play my promo and, you know, kind of network a little bit.
Yeah, one of the good things to do here just if you want to do promos inside the podcasting community is go to your iTunes page and say, and you'll see that says people that listen to this show also listen to, and they give you five other shows. Send your promo to those other five shows, because it doesn't mean that everybody that's listening to those shows is listening to your show. It just means that some people that are listening to your show are listening to those shows. So if some of those people are listening, then obviously there's some crossover, and go promote on those shows.
Some cross interest, I said, I guess, between those things. That's a good idea.
Before we get to the last question, is there anything we didn't cover you guys wanted to talk about today?
I'm doing a speaking engagement at the Podcast and Portable Media Expo in the Hobbyist Track at 11:45 on Saturday about getting your audience more involved with your podcast through free and cheap means. I'm also submitting about an article every other month to Podcast User Magazine, which is at podcastusermagazine.com.
Okay. Craig, anything you want to throw in there?
Speaking of the creative side of things, I'm creating a webcomic. I've been drawing, you know, comics for ages, but I'm going to start a webcomic on my website at spindle.com, S-P-Y-N-D-L-E, and possibly throw a like a little audio commentary, like a podcast, nothing really structured, but just me working through the creative process and maybe get some other ideas and make it something a little bit better. So I should have that out probably in the next few weeks, but I know with time delay, you know, it may already be there, so you can go check it out at spindle.com.
Last question, throw it out to both of you, and that is what advice, being that you guys have been around for so long in the podcasting community, would you like to offer out to those that are just starting or are thinking of starting?
Don't do it!
Turn back!
Run away, run away! It's abandon all evil, fangy rabbit with big fangy things.
Yeah. I'll give you my biggest piece of advice is script out what you're going to do. Not necessarily word for word, but have an idea to keep things structured to a point where it doesn't sound like a bunch of ramblings on like we do on our show sometimes. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Especially if we're working with somebody else, put up a wiki, because we have a wiki and we throw stuff in there all week long getting ready for the show. So that's a great way to help coordinate each other.
And it saves time on making show notes.
Yes, yes.
Have fun. Just have fun. If for no other reason that you do a podcast, it's like a job. If you have fun at it, you'll never work a day in your life.
All right. Well, guys, thank you both for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for having us, Rob.
Yeah, appreciate it, Rob. Thanks.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Chuck and Craig. Guys, thanks again for coming on the show. And everyone out there, I highly recommend you check out all of their shows. And links to their shows can be found in the show notes for today's show. Well, we're going to go ahead now and get into a bunch of listener feedback. If you have any feedback you want to share on the show, give us a call at 206-666-4357 or send audio feedback to podcast411@gmail.com. And finally, you can go to podcast411.com and click on the My Chingo button to leave us feedback. First up, here is some feedback from Carmen over at the Addicted to Race podcast. Here we go.
Hey, Rob. It's Carmen from the Addicted to Race podcast. I just listened to your soapbox episode, and I have to say that I really, really enjoyed it. You know, generally on your show, you stay pretty neutral, and you're mostly in the interviewer position, and we don't get to hear that much about your opinions. But I have to say that the episodes of Podcast 411 I enjoy the most are episodes like these, when you really let loose and you tell us exactly what you think. So I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe the soapbox needs to be a regular part of the show now, because I, for one, really, really love it. And so, yeah, just keep up the great work. We were actually recently interviewed by Rob on Podcast 411, so many of your listeners probably know us. But for those who haven't heard of us, you can find our podcast at addictedtorace.com, and we're a podcast all about America's obsession with race, and that's R-A-C-E, race as in racism, not race as in NASCAR. Not that there's anything wrong with NASCAR, but that's not what our show is about.
Carmen, thanks for the feedback. And if you don't know about it out there, I'm also doing another podcast now where I actually get to go on my little rants a little bit more, and that is Today in Podcasting. I'm doing that with Gary over at Podcast Pickle and Dave Jackson from School of Podcasting, and we bring in a guest. It's kind of like This Week in Tech, except all about podcasting, and I'll have a link in the show notes for that. But if you want to hear me doing some more rants, that's a good place to hear me rant. Also, for those of you out there, Jen and Carmen from Addicted to Race were this past weekend interviewed on quite a bit of news shows about the whole controversy about Survivor breaking out into different groups based on race. So if you get a chance, go over to YouTube and do a search in YouTube for New Demo, N-E-W-D-E-M-O. That's one word, not two. And you can find some of their videos for the interviews they did on CNN and MSNBC and some other news shows.
Hi, Rob. This is Al from Ohio. And I wanted to leave you a brief message about your recent conversations about deleting faded podcasts from the podcast directories. I think it would be an interesting argument to have some of these faded podcasters as interviews on your show. This would give the rest of the audience, the podcasting world, a little insight into why podcasts fade or why podcasters stop doing their shows. It's just an idea, and I think it would be a good one. Talk to you later, Rob. Bye.
Al, thanks for that feedback. And I love that type of feedback because it lets me say this. Page 34, Chapter 2, Tricks of the Podcasting Masters. Actually, what we did in the book is we talked to four different podcasters that had podfaded and had conversations in that chapter about why it was that each of them podfaded, and they all had different reasons. And then we summarized in that chapter ways to avoid burnout. So rather than clutter up the RSS space, just go out and pick up a copy of Tricks of the Podcasting Masters, page 34, chapter 2, and that will give you some feedback on why some people have podfaded.
Rob, George here. Two comments on two topics. First off, being the nice guy I am, I won't make you play my promo just because I remember Ed Cranepool. I'm sure a zillion people do, and I'd hate to force you into releasing a promo-only show. See, when the Mets first came out, I was a Yankees fan, and note the word was, and I felt about the Mets the same way I feel about the Nationals today, which is the franchise should be somewhere where people don't have an opportunity to root for a hometown major league team. So I got to know all the Mets on a negative basis, so for me the only shining light was Casey Stengel. So yeah, I remember him like Marvelous Marv Thornberry and Richie Ashburn.
Now, George, that's just not fair because New York was left with only the Yankees. Now, if you in the 50s in 40s and 30s were a Brooklyn Dodgers fan or a New York Giants fan, those teams skedaddled in the late 50s, leaving New York with just the Yankees. So if you hated the Yankees, you had no one left to root for. So the Mets came in to fill a void, which is for all anti-Yankee people to have a baseball team to root for.
The other topic. I was thinking about the question of delisting, and initially my opinion was to toss the ones that haven't been produced in a while, but then I started thinking about it. You see, I wrote a program and placed it at oneminutehowto.com/libsynstats.asp, and anyone can use it. And that allows me to dump my stats, Libsyn stats in and get a report of the unique downloads. Well, what I found out was that a significant number of people are downloading my old shows. And Eclectic Mix, my music podcast, it's been around for more than a year, and a lot of people are still downloading those old shows. And I think that would still be the case even if my show were to fade. Now, since it's been my intention to promote the artist, it'd really be a shame to no longer have the music available through search just because I'm not currently producing a show. I think your idea of checking with the podcaster is reasonable, but with all those podcasts out there, I wonder if it's feasible. So thanks for opening the discussion, and I'm enjoying hearing the opinions on both sides. Take care.
Thanks, George, for the comments. I've got a couple more feedbacks about the delisting, so I'm going to get into a little bit more detail after a couple other of those feedbacks. But first, I wanted to play this one from Adam Tinkoff about Ed Crane pulling the Mets.
Hey there, Rob. This is definitely not Cleon Jones from Burning 20. And I got to tell you, I never really thought of you as an Ed Crane pull. To me, you are more like a Bud Harrelson. But if that's the case, would that make Adam Curry Tom Seaver? Well, I don't know. We'll just have to chew that over. Maybe over a tall Coke at Adventures Inn. Sound good? Thanks for the great show. You're listening to not Cleon Jones or Ron Swoboda, for that matter, from Burning 20. Bye.
Adam, thanks for the feedback. Interesting, the next few pieces of feedback to finish out the show are going to come in via the K7, the 206-666-4357 number. The last one from Adam came in via email, and the first three came in through MyChingo. I think it's fun when we can have one piece of feedback at least from each of the three different ways on a show. We're able to do that on today's show. And that's why I have three different ways. It's not to confuse you, it's just to make it easier for the listeners, whichever method that they find easier. So just a bit of advice, you might want to do the same thing for your show. Offer multiple ways for them to get you the feedback.
Hi, Rob. This is Kristen from the Manic Mommies. I actually have a question about RSS feeds. You mentioned something on a show a couple of episodes ago about running your RSS feed through your using your domain and not necessarily using your Libsyn URL. We did use our Libsyn URL, so it's manicmommies.libsyn.com/RSS for the show, and we have another feed for our website for our blog posts. And eventually I would like to get those kind of into one or move it. So I'm wondering how difficult that is and how big a mistake we made by using the Libsyn feed. Thanks!
You are so hosed. No, it's tough. It is tough to make the change. Once you start out with your RSS feed in one method, and it's a namespace you don't own, where you can't go in and manually edit that RSS feed, it's tough. If you have your RSS feed on one namespace and you can go in and manually edit that RSS feed, then at least the people that are subscribed to you via iTunes can switch over to a new feed if you decide, because iTunes has a new RSS feed tag where you can add a tag into your RSS feed and then leave it in there and point to the new RSS feed. And then iTunes, over a two-day period, will see that and readjust all the subscriptions that people are using via iTunes over to the new feed. However, if you're using a service where they auto-generate the feed for you and you can't edit that RSS feed, then you can't add that tag. I'm not sure on Libsyn if you can or cannot go in and manually edit the RSS feed. If you can, then you can add the new iTunes tag and point to a feed burner feed that would then point to wherever you manually edit your feed or wherever you host manually host your feed. So that is one way around it. You know, you're not completely hosed if you can manually edit your feed. If you can't edit the feed and you're stuck at Libsyn or Podblaze or Podbub or Podhub or whatever, and you can't get in there to add that iTunes new RSS tag, then you are hosed. You're stuck with that service. You're stuck using that. And that's not saying there's anything wrong with Libsyn, but Libsyn even knows that you're better off using your own namespace. That's why they allow you to bring in your own domain name into their service so that you could have been www.manicmommies.com/RSS as your feed rather than manicmommies.libsyn.com/RSS. So if anybody knows if you can go in and manually edit your RSS feed in Libsyn, please let me know. And mind you, even if you can get in and edit your RSS feed so that iTunes switches over, that still doesn't cover your percentage of listeners that are using iPod or X, Juice, NewsNetWire, or any of the other aggregators. It only helps the ones that are subscribed to you via iTunes. And let's not forget all the different podcast directories where you're listed. It doesn't update those podcast directories that are out there. So if you're out there in 95 different podcast directories, you've got to go out to each one and ask each one of them to change your XML feed. Ouch. My overall advice to you would be to just leave it as it is. Sorry.
Hi, Rob. This is Mike Wills of the Revenge Podcast. I listened to your conversations on the directories and stuff, and I just had a little additional feedback on this. And it may not be more so for you as it is for some of the other directories, but I totally agree with the 404s. If the website's down, I mean, I would probably not remove them immediately because it could be a web server problem or something like that. But, you know, give them a check on it, 404, come back a couple days. If it's still 404, then remove them. But then I would say if a directory could do automatic checks, and let's say after 6 months or so, send out a message to the owner of the site and say, hey, are you still going to be doing this? And if they say, like, in the case of EarthCore, no, but I want to stay out there, yeah, you can mark it as completed or, you know, some sort of marking saying this is a final product meant out here just as archive. Or like just saying, yeah, I just can't, I haven't had time to get back to it or whatever. Maybe mark it as inactive so someone knows, hey, they just aren't doing this right now. And then when they do publish out a new show, then it will be, the mark would be removed. I guess that's just a couple of ideas there. And then at first I was like, well, after 6 months, remove them, or after a year, remove them. But then there were some very good arguments like EarthCore and Seasons and that kind of stuff where, or, you know, people just could, maybe they have a huge project at work that they can't get back to podcasting on or something. Who knows? But, yeah, I think, that's kind of my feedback on the directories, and keep up the great work. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Rob. It's Kevin Crossman from the Frat Pack Podcast. I'm glad you brought up the topic of directories and pod-faded shows and the fact that the definition of what is pod-faded may be a bit difficult at times, and the Battlestar Galactica example you gave was a great one. I think that if a year is probably a good definition, at least at this point. It would clean up a whole bunch of shows that have pod faded, and at least would be a good place to start. I know that's not a perfect solution for everybody, but it certainly would reduce the negative, the false drops on shows that are on hiatus. So anyway, glad to keep you hearing the shows that you're putting out, and I appreciate the work that you do. Thanks. Keep it up. Bye.
One idea on the whole delisting subject that came in from Susan Wallace over at the PAS podcast, I think is probably one of the best ideas I've heard. I actually forwarded it on to Apple because I thought it was so good. And that idea was to create your own special tag in the RSS feed that states whether, you know, it's a series, if it's, you know, an ongoing series like an audiobook or, you know, so when it's done, they know not to delist it, that it's a book series. to. If the show is on hiatus, you can have that in the tag, when the show is going to be back. Or three, if the show is active and ongoing. Now, if you don't have that tag, then in the directory, it would say, you know, status unknown. And people would start to learn that shows that have status unknown and haven't done a show in a while probably aren't good shows to go after or look at. It would also let the directories know which ones to remove if they don't have that status tag. And this would let us as podcasters go on a hiatus and let everybody know that, hey, we're going to be on a hiatus for the next 6 months, the next 3 months, the next 9 weeks, the next 9 months. So I like Susan's idea a lot. I think having that extra tag. Now, granted, getting that tag added into the RS 2.0 spec is going to be difficult, but maybe Apple can add it into the iTunes spec. We'll see what happens. Well, if you've made it this long into the show, and it's way into the show, then you are either very interested in this subject, so again, let's keep the conversation going, or you have some other feedback you'd like, or maybe you just can't get to the iPod to switch it to the next show. So maybe after this ends, you're going to go off to listen to Dave's Lounge, and you just got stuck listening a little longer than you wanted. But if not, send your feedback to podcast411@gmail.com, or you can call it in, 206-666-4357, or finally, you can go to podcast411.com and click on the My Chingo button. Would love to get your feedback, get it on the show. That's going to go ahead and do it for us today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411. Reminding you to listen different.